Pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess first I'd like to thank the township, Ross Township trustees for having us here this evening, letting us use your facility. It's greatly appreciated. And our agenda tonight, we will go through our, approve our minutes and go through our resolutions, and then we'll go to our care facility director, Chuck, for an update on a county home. And but first, we'd like to introduce Mr. Wilsey, who is president of the Ross Township Trustees and a great American.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you. On behalf of the Ross Township Trustees, Raymond Wurzelbacher, Ellen Yorty, myself, Fiscal Officer Judy Huffman, and the residents of Ross Township, we'd like to welcome you to lovely Ross Township. We're thrilled to have you here, and if I could just take a minute, I would like to introduce a couple other people we have here. We have our police chief, Carl Worley, and we have our fire chief, Steve Miller. And once again, welcome to Ross Township.
Also, we have with us tonight, we have the distinct pleasure of having our state rep, Mr. Corson. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jalabat?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Can you take us through resolutions?
Certainly. We have four travel requests to consider today. First, from the Butler County Sheriff's Office, Vicki Barger and Erica Bressler Davis, to attend the U.S. Department of Justice Financial Management Training Seminar. This is in Columbus, Ohio on July 22nd and 23rd in the amount of $750. Next, from the Common Pleas Court, we have Judge Hedrick, Judge Oney, Judge Powers, and Judge Sage, and Judge Faith to attend.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess first I'd like to thank the township, Ross Township trustees for having us here this evening, letting us use your facility. It's greatly appreciated. And our agenda tonight, we will go through our, approve our minutes and go through our resolutions, and then we'll go to our care facility director, Chuck, for an update on a county home. And but first, we'd like to introduce Mr. Wilsey, who is president of the Ross Township Trustees and a great American.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you. On behalf of the Ross Township Trustees, Raymond Wurzelbacher, Ellen Yorty, myself, Fiscal Officer Judy Huffman, and the residents of Ross Township, we'd like to welcome you to lovely Ross Township. We're thrilled to have you here, and if I could just take a minute, I would like to introduce a couple other people we have here. We have our police chief, Carl Worley, and we have our fire chief, Steve Miller. And once again, welcome to Ross Township.
Also, we have with us tonight, we have the distinct pleasure of having our state rep, Mr. Corson. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jalabat?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Can you take us through resolutions?
Certainly. We have four travel requests to consider today. First, from the Butler County Sheriff's Office, Vicki Barger and Erica Bressler Davis, to attend the U.S. Department of Justice Financial Management Training Seminar. This is in Columbus, Ohio, on July 22nd and 23rd, in the amount of $750. Next, from the Common Pleas Court, we have Judge Hedrick, Judge Oney, Judge Powers, and Judge Sage, and Judge Faith to attend. Estimated resources accept dated May 28, 2009. There are three funds, all of which, all the resources for these funds are showing an increase in the estimates. First is the Walton Ponds Fairfield Township RIB Fund 1905 to increase $30,100 even. Next, the Woods of Lakewood Fairfield Township RIB Fund 1907 to increase $30 even. And finally, the Cincinnati Dayton Interstate 75 TIF, fund number 1952, increased $502,000 even. As we move on to personnel, we have eight personnel actions to consider today. First is a step increase in for collective bargaining unit member Marissa Gardner in Children's Services to $25 an hour, and that is a 3.3% change. Next, a step increase for Kristen Garber, collective bargaining unit member in Children's Services, $25.29 and 3.3% change, effective May 31. Next, a step increase for Kimberly Bryant, collective bargaining unit member in Children's Services, to $20.13, 3.3% change, effective June 1. Next, a step increase for Karen Minhart, collective bargaining unit member in Children's Services, to $23.54, 3.4% change, effective June 4. Next, a step increase for Mary Hall, collective bargaining unit member, Children's Services, to $20.81, 3.4% change, effective June 4, 2009. Next, a step increase for Chelsea Bennett, collective bargaining unit member in Children's Services, to $19.94, 3.3% change, effective June 4th. Next, a step increase for Caitlin Busano, a collective bargaining unit member in Children's Services, $24.19, a 3.3% change, effective June 5. And then finally, a step increase for Amy Hensley, collective bargaining unit member of Children's Services, to $18.97, a 3.3% change, effective June 11th. As we move on to the next category, for consideration tonight is the community block grant agreements for 2009, work under the entitlement program to include the village of College Corner, the village of Millville, the village of Somerville, Hanover Township, Riley Township, and St. Clair Township. As we move on to Job and Family Services, we have two contracts to retroactively approve. These are placement contracts for residential placement services. The first is to Berea Children's Home from Children's Services, effective February 1, 08 to June 30, 09, in the amount of $290,000. The second from Children's Services is Buckeye Ranch, Inc. For the period of February 1-08 to June 30-09 for foster care and residential treatment services for up to $1,397,086. As we move on to water and sewer, water and sewer has one item for your consideration tonight, and that is to approve an agreement with Lamar Outdoor Advertising for billboard advertising at 747 and Mulhouse Road with the Butler County Solid Waste District for up to $2,500. So move on to the engineer. The engineer has three items for your consideration. First is to approve an contract number 20093 with W.G. Stang for River Road Bridge replacement in the amount of $548,075. Next is to grant a special hauling permit to Clyde McNairn. And finally, under the engineer, to grant another special hauling permit to Tricia Schroeder. And then finally, to approve then and now certificates for 53 payments. Do you want to do it separately? Okay, we have one more personnel item to add, and that is to accept the resignation of the Butler County Personnel Director and Labor Council, Doug Duckett, effective August 3rd, 2009.
With that, I'd like to say that it's with regrets that we accept the resignation from Mr. Duckett. He's been with us for 23 years. He's renowned throughout the state, and in my view, does an outstanding job. But, that said, we've approved the resolutions.
But I will second that, but also like to make a comment also that also accept Don's resignation. And besides handling all the negotiations for commissioners with our unions and informing us and keeping us apprised of what the parameters are and always asking us what we wanted to do, he fulfilled that role, I think, very well. Also handling some very tough personnel matters, sometimes disciplinary matters that Doug had to take care of, and I know at times that our employees thought that, boy, what a SO something he is in other times, but I think all in all that Doug's reputation among employees from Butler County has been that he was a fair and professional person. But the most important thing that I think that Doug has contributed was his involvement with SEPCO, with our health insurance. Doug was on the board of SEPCO, which is Association of Butler County, counties, state of Ohio, and we formed a consortium, and we joined that organization, I think it was about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And since that time, our increases in health insurance and also for employees has almost been absolute zero, while the private sector and the private business has experienced some huge increases. And we continue to enjoy those low rates. The employees should be very thankful for Doug's involvement with SEPCO. And I think that that could be his lasting legacy is during these times, tough economic times, our health costs in the last several years have been very low, thanks to Doug's involvement in SEPCO and getting us involved in that. So I wish Doug the best of luck with his future. I know that he continues in the workforce. I'm sure that there's a lot of law firms would just love to have Doug Duckett as part of their labor negotiations and labor attorneys. And he's one of the best, and highly regarded, and I wish him well.
Yeah, same notion, very well. And
all right, Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. Josh, before you get carried away with that story, on SEPCO, I think our rates are going to reflect. We are experiencing a terrible year, and I don't want our employees to think that we're going to see the same experience this year as we have in the past, because I think we're going to have a huge increase, and among other things, we're probably going to be asking our employees to help carry some of the cost in this increase. So has been a good deal, and it probably will still be a better deal than what we can get in the marketplace, but stars aren't lining up to be a good 210 with our health insurance.
If the stock market continues the way it did today, we'll be in pretty good shape. I think it's the highest it's been in almost a year, I think, almost 8,700. So I hope that continues.
Okay. One other thing, did we get the notice out to reopen over at Union?
We've got a draft letter ready.
When do I go?
Probably tomorrow.
Okay. Chuck, you want to give us an update on county home?
Okay, thank you for inviting me this evening. Been about a year since I've been in front of you guys, and it's been a wild year, to be honest with you. A couple things on the first handout I've got here is kind of our current statistics. One of the things that counts a lot in nursing homes is census. The better your census is, the better pay your bills. On the first page I gave you is the comparison of the first 5 months of 2008 versus 2009. In 2008, our census was 15,921 patient days. That included a leap year. You know, that all kind of skews us every 4 years. That extra day brings the number higher. This year we're 15,825. So we're running about, in the same category, we're running about 96% occupied at this moment. On the second page is the dollars that we've collected so far this year. In 2008, we collected, after 5 months, $3,158,000. This year, we've collected $3,280,000. Some positive things happening. I think because we've had some longevity at our people doing the accounts payable and accounts receivable, we've got the system pretty well figured out that I don't think we leave any money on the table and incorrect billing. We've been able to chase down a lot of the old age accounts. The only thing happening to us right now is in the state of Ohio, they're a little bit behind in settling up the books. We're right now looking at the year 2002 and 2003. And one of the things they're saying to us is that we owe them about $100,000, and we're able to show them we only owe them about $30,000. And we've got all our documentation going out tomorrow morning to them because they forgot to look at 2005 when they did a major take back. They didn't account for that when they did their audit. So it's going to be a fun time, let me be real honest there, that, you know, I think we've got our ducks in a row on that one pretty well. Our Medicaid rate on the next page has been the same for 4 years. At this moment, we haven't got a clue what our rate's going to be. I've attached on four pages after that what I got from CCAO this morning on the breakdown of the budget by the Senate. And I hate to say this, I haven't got a clue what it means. The House version I understood. The House version was very straightforward. This is the cuts that we're going to get. The original proposal by the governor was to take everybody down to what's called the price within 2 years, which would affect us by about $800,000 over a 2 year period of time. The House budget was a lot more friendly. We're looking at about an $80,000 cut versus an $800,000 cut over a 2 year time period. The Senate, I cannot make heads or tails of their comparison bill to give you an idea of what the Senate's come back. But my understanding is it goes back to the two committees and then it goes to the governor. And hopefully by July 1, we'll have an idea of what we're going to get paid. Meantime,
Corky, any insight there?
I agree with what Chuck said. The House version is a whole lot more simpler and a whole lot easier to understand than the Senate version. Senate version came out Friday. I've got some information that I got this morning on it. I've looked at a little bit of it, not all of it. And Chuck's exactly right. It's very, very convoluted. It's hard to understand. I don't know where they're going. I do know that they've changed our schedules this week. We will be going up Wednesday and Thursday, which is unusual. We're usually there Tuesday and Wednesday. But we've got session on Thursday, and Chuck's absolutely right. We will be supposedly scheduled to vote to send it to the conference committee. That's the Senate version. Will be voted out Thursday, and in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks possibly, by July 1st for sure, there will be a budget out. The budget is not pretty. It doesn't, I'm telling you, it's, after we sent our budget over to the Senate, they cut an extra $1 billion out of it. That's what Chuck's talking about. They just gutted the budget terribly. But it has to be balanced. So, conference committee be set up, 9 people, Democrats, Republicans, and they will, and I understand, it's my understanding, there's even more to be cut, Chuck. So, even what you got now is probably, if you could figure it out, it probably wouldn't be right.
Okay. Because I added this because I was talking to CCAO this morning to our rep, and she was trying to get from AOP and a couple other groups, and nobody could kind of put a price tag on this.
Is that in spite of all the stimulus money that we're...
That's in spite of all that, Chuck, yes.
Well,
all the stimulus money we got.
Thank one you. Thing that they've done is they've added, I think they added 70 cents more to the, let me get this right, franchise fee. Probably a better way to explain it is a bed tax. We're not supposed to call it a bed tax, but... they added $3.70 on top of the rate, on top of what was already being paid to get matching federal dollars back to generate money back. You know, that was added in the Senate version was to up the franchise fee so that they could generate more dollars. But I attached it because I just thought I would give you an idea that it's really hard to figure out what we're doing, and again, on our part, our collective bargaining agreement with the United Steelworkers is done as of July 1. It's not a real good time to be sitting at the bargaining table when you can't sit there and go, I have no idea what I'm getting paid. So we're kind of dragging our feet on that one a little because until we get more insight of what we're looking at, we have no idea what to go to the bargaining table with. I also attached 2 new policies we've added here. One came from the windstorm from last year. It's a fuel delivery emergency plan. We did okay. We had plenty of diesel fuel for our emergency generator for a while. We were down for about 4 or 5 days, but there were homes in Ohio that ran out of fuel and had no way to get it delivered. We got a backup contingency plan that's about 4 layers deep, so I think we're in pretty good shape. And then the last plan is the contingency plan for the flu. With all the things out on swine flu, we've got to have a plan of who can come in our building, how we check to see if there's an outbreak. We'll be doing everybody's temp as they walk in the door. We'll be checking for signs and symptoms of the flu, and if anybody has signs and symptoms, we will ask them not to come in the building. Same with staff, if they are showing signs and symptoms of the flu, by the recommendation of CDC, we'll send them home for 7 days. And in the meantime, our pharmacy has guaranteed us a certain amount of supply of Tamiflu and some other things to get to the staff so that those that don't have it yet, we can hopefully protect those folks so that we can still have caregivers on the property. So that's our flu plan. I also attached a sheet here. This is on our cost report that we filed for 2008, kind of showing some differences. Our census was up by 3%, along with our Medicaid utilization, which means we take mainly Medicaid folks at our facility. Our direct care cost, which is nursing assistants, was down by 5% over the year 2007. Our food stayed about the same, and as everybody remembers last year, between the $4 a gallon delivery fees and all the surcharges that came with the food, I think that was pretty good to keep the food cost about the same. And that just gives you from what we filed on our cost report. And then the last brochure I gave in the black and white was a presentation I got to give to the County Commissioners Association last year at their summer event on the unified long-term care budget and some of the plans that are coming out. And I thought one of the interesting statistics after you get past all the demographics was that Butler County has 47,600 residents are 60 and older. We have a third with at least one disability and 11% live in poverty. And then by the year 2020, that number should jump to 83,000. And by 2020, the number of people turning 65 will outpace those turning 25 in Butler County. So you've got some staggering numbers headed this way on health care. And, you know, the hard part as people leave, we're not replacing people. We're trying to stay on top of, you know, what could be the worst case scenario coming down the road for us. Because if the cuts are what they originally projected to be, it's going to be really difficult to provide quality care to the patients and keep the cost at where you're breaking. This year has been a good year so far. We've met all our obligations, and we've actually been able to put some more money back into the bank this year. So we're doing, this is one of our better years. We've got our act together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You did a great job up there. Care is wonderful. Veterans are very fortunate that they're placed. So
we continue to get compliments on a regular basis of your personnel and administration and the facility itself. Good job.
Okay, we'll go. Anyone from the audience this evening have any comments, questions, issues?
The block grant for Millville. What was that for? If you got it, if you don't, there's no problem. Paving. Ross Hanover.
All right.
I got a question on that. Given their book, do they still get the money?
Please.
Given the condition their finances are in, are they still awarded that money? If their books are inaudible, can't be balanced, do they get that chunk of change? Or is that turned over?
Those funds are in the process controlled out of our committee block grant office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it won't flow through their books, so there will not be any an issue of intermingling those dollars.
Okay. Income would be the only qualifying aspect, and that's been completed, so the rest is handled through
the resident income.
Yeah. The resident income level is the only thing that is, that it would qualify under, disqualified.
I just like to say I thank you guys for coming out. I think it's important. I was glad to see that you started this program up and going out in the community. It's a good thing. It shows that you care and that people can get to you and you're accessible. So I commend you for it. And appreciate you coming to my township and my trustee. it's a good program. It's good to see you guys out at night.
Any other questions, comments? And off the email tonight. We'll come back here.
I'd just like to add that we always feel at home here. I really appreciate the hospitality, and it's it's always fun to come to Ross Township.
A good place to be.
Absolutely.
Great, Dan. Comments? None? Not much, we have a comment.
Happy to be here.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Donovan?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.